Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to Text Message, the UK-focused technology podcast, with him, Ian Morris.
And him, Nate Langson.
We had a lovely little chat. That was quite fun. We didn't script that. That just came out.
No.
Like an unplanned...
We haven't scripted anything.
Yeah, well, it's a bit of a different show today because, as was the case last week, there have been few things that we've found compelling in the news other than, well, let's just say the swear words, Musk and crypto. And we have no interest in talking about either of those two things. And that sort of left the smorgasbord of news something like the leftovers of a teenager's party. It's like just a couple of bits of crisps left over and a lot of sick. And we don't want to talk about any of those. So instead, we've got a variety of topics that we've found interesting, and we're going to rattle our way through them this week. But I've got a couple of things I wanted to mention, because before we started recording the show properly, I mentioned to Ian that I discovered a new hole in the back of my television. It's an optical digital port. And the reason I found that hole was because I was having to rebuild my hi-fi setup, because last night, out of nowhere, I was about to watch Arrival, the film, and my amp, my Yamaha amp, just decided, hey, you know how I've worked for 3 years and it's always been fine, not a problem at all? Well, hey, here's something new. I've decided to stop working. And for no discernible reason other than a very slight blinking light on the power button when you pressed it, it just nothing, just dead, completely dead. And I had to figure out how the hell you even find out what the problem is with an amp, let alone fix the problem. And quite a bit of Googling into the night, I managed
blown
to find...
Blown internal fuse?
Well, one of the things was a faulty power supply, and I could come up with an explanation of how a power supply may get damaged. However, nothing had changed in that entire setup for several weeks. But really,
Bruce hadn't been behind there giving it the old wee-wees.
Absolutely not. No. He exclusively urinates on the side of the house. He's very good about not doing it inside.
Okay, that's good. But
long story short, I figured out how to enter this diagnostic mode on a hi-fi.
This,
like, someone had asked the question about a different model, and they'd said, if you hold this button and this button and then press this button, it works. It turns into diagnostic mode. But I didn't have one of those two, one of the three buttons. But I did have bass up. I think it was bass up, input mode down, and power, or something really weird like that. And then it entered this like diagnostic mode, and it just had the word okay on the screen. And I was like, that seems like okay is something you'd want to see. That's a better set of letters to see. Turned it off, and then it came back on again. And it looks like all it is that it gone to some circuit, like some circuitry safety mode, and you had to go into the diagnostic mode to say, don't worry, I've had a look and it's fine, please reboot. But it's such a faff. But in the process, I have learned that my TV has an optical digital output.
And so you're now using that to transfer audio from one to the...
I did a test for about 2 minutes with an episode of Friends just before coming in here. And that was it. So that was very, very exciting. Later on in the show, we are going to talk about a few things. One of the key things I think we're going to talk about is ticketing systems, as in how to buy tickets for gigs and the likes. There's been a bit of a faff around that with a few things, notably a Taylor Swift concert that I heard was quite difficult to get tickets for. But something happened this morning that was unplanned. It wasn't my discovery of an exciting new hole. It was my mum called me in. My mum's down here staying, and she called me in to say, have you heard from Pooh this morning? Now, that might sound like an odd request to make of your son, but key to note here is that my mum calls my brother Pooh. It dates back to when he was a child and we called him Pooh Bear. But he got older and apparently Pooh Bear was just a bit too demeaning for a 35-year-old. So now, it's only Pooh. Anyway, I said, no, I haven't. Why? She said, oh, I've just had a text from a weird mobile number. And it says, hi, Mum. I've lost my phone. I've got a temporary number. Here it is. Can you just add me on WhatsApp? And I'll keep you posted about when I get
the
a new phone or something.
Gammaroo.
Yeah. And it was interesting because a lot of those sorts of messages that you see, they're quite badly written. And part of the reason they're badly written, so I'm led to believe, is that they don't want clever people or even people who can understand, who could possibly spot it, to respond. They want people who could read something very obviously fake and still fall for it. But this was written quite well. The grammar was correct. They correctly used WhatsApp's camel casing with a capital W, capital A, you know, all that sort of thing. They put mum, not mom, which you would expect if it was like a global thing. They might use the American term, but they didn't. They'd put mum, and that is what he calls our mum. You know, he doesn't call her motherkins or something else horrific. Just mum. And I was glad she asked me, because we collectively agreed this is not Andy, this is stupid. And she knew that. She was just running it by me. But I thought it would have been a really easy test to just reply and just ask literally any question that only the two of them would know. And it would instantly defeat a scammer, you know. And I just wondered if you've had any of these sorts of things come through.
I've
never
had exactly that message. Hold on. Let me see if I can find it. I think the wording was exactly the same.
Really? Because I've heard these things are problematic and they're happening a lot, but I've not yet had one.
We should compare the number. Hi, Mum. I've lost my phone, so I've had to get a temporary number. Can you text me on my new number? And then the number.
Ah, did they mention WhatsApp?
No.
Well, the wording is identical, but they mentioned, please, can you add me on WhatsApp? Which was another clue, because although Andy does use WhatsApp, my mum uses WhatsApp, as a group, we use Signal. And
yes, of course.
And I imagine in a text like that, they would have known, please add me at my new number on Signal or equivalent. Also, it was an SMS, and we don't use those. So there were many clues just in the technology and terms used. So you've had one. What did you just block and delete? Well, obviously not delete.
Well, in fact, I didn't block and delete this one. And usually I forward them to the spam service, which is, what's the number? I've done it several times. It's 7726. So you forward the text to 7726 and then you get a message back and they say, what's the phone number? And if you get a phone number, you can send them that. And then they'll do something.
Well, we'll undelete that because the messages, I think, stay in your recently deleted for a while. So I'll get my mum to undelete that message from recently deleted and then we'll report it. But it's interesting that the wording's same, but on this one, which presumably is a more recent one, they opted to ask to add on WhatsApp and not regular SMS. So it's a bit of an evolution there.
Yeah, but there was someone did a Twitter thread about this a while ago, thread of responses, like trying to find out what was going on. I don't know. I can't remember if it was. I think it was their mother, and they had sort of fallen for it, but had gone through all the rigmarole and then had not had sort of sniffed it out as a scam at the last minute, if you will. Then had involved her actual daughter, and she was like a, you know, reasonably competent tech person, and said, "Oh, right, interesting," and then tweeted about it. Probably easy to find if you were to hunt around.
Do you think it might be a fun experiment to use a different phone and text them back and see how far you can get the conversation to go and basically troll the trolls?
Yeah, I mean, might be, yeah.
Say, hi, I got you. Sorry, hi, it's Mum. Just got your number, but I also have lost my phone. I'm on my number, so can we use this for a while? and then see what
that
they
would be fairly amusing. I think. I mean, it's going to ultimately not be that satisfying unless somehow get them to transfer you £5,000.
Well,
which would be very entertaining.
I wouldn't try and get money out of them. I mean, I suppose I could, but it would rouse their suspicions. I just wonder how long can you continue an inane conversation with a spammer for before they realise this
probably
is a...
Probably quite a while.
Do you reckon?
Well, they're probably dealing with thousands and thousands of them. So there'll be some call centre somewhere. Yeah. And you can go on YouTube and watch, like...
Charlotte says in live chat there are YouTube videos, people trolling the trolls.
Absolutely. There's a couple of guys who are quite famous for doing it. In fact, there's that guy who... Have you ever seen the glitter bomb thing?
No.
Well, there's a guy... I forgot. Is it Mark Rober? I think it's Mark Rober. He basically builds these glitter bombs and then puts them outside his house as Amazon packages. Or like Apple headphones. So like AirPods or an AirPod, you know, the speaker. And whatever it's called. What is it called? What's the Apple speaker thing called?
HomePod.
Thank you. He puts a box outside his house and then waits for people to steal it. And when they lift the lid, it fires out glitter, has a fart sound and a fart spray, and then it sends all that information, including sort of video, back over mobile network, and then he posts them online. It's very entertaining. Anyway, he did one with this... Indian scam outlet, and they released like cockroaches into this call center and stuff like that. It has apparently since been raided by the police.
I'd feel pretty bad doing that to a cockroach. John says it's
that
a scam.
That is an issue.
Says it's a fake, rather. It was staged, the glitter bomb, apparently.
Really?
Yeah. However, just going back to our main topic, well, firstly, Charlotte says, I don't understand how with all the tech we have now, these are still a thing. I think the fact is that they work, sadly, and that's why they keep doing it. But, well, I won't say whose name it is, but another person in chat says, some relatives of mine nearly coughed up most of their bank account when someone pretended to be their daughter needing money.
Oh, Lord. You can see how it would happen. You don't have to, if you're not technical,
yeah,
it would be very easy to fall for that. Charlotte also mentions gnoming. Have you heard of gnoming?
No, my dear. Go on.
Basically, you can go on the dark web and order either a very large number of gnomes to be delivered to someone's, and they'll put them in either their house or their garden. Or you can do this thing. I can't remember what it's called, but basically you can put in a gnome, and if they take the gnome out, it's replaced by two gnomes and so on.
And this is called gnoming.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, you have to assume that the person who's receiving them doesn't want a gnome, because my mother-in-law bloody loves gnomes.
Well, if sign her up for that then, and she'll wake to a garden full of them.
That just seems like it's one of those things that can backfire by making somebody's day. It's like saying, well, now, I can't think of a better example than gnomes. If you like gnomes and you wake up and your garden is full of gnomes, you're going to say, well, thanks very much. I wanted 1,000 gnomes.
Well, I mean, 1,000 gnomes has a value. You could turn that round into a money laundering.
But then you could sell the gnomes. I mean, yeah. I've seen the prices in garden centres, and gnomes are not cheap, particularly the good ones. If they're smiling, that's a lot of money.
And well, there you go, you say. I mean, this is probably why the dark web probably makes money. Because
you see, you don't hear about this that often, do you? You hear dark web and you think drug smuggling, paedophiles, hitmen. You don't think, can I send 1,000 gnomes to my mother-in-law and confuse her, but simultaneously make her day?
Yes.
Do you get any choice over the type of gnome?
I would imagine it's all up for decisions. You know, if you want to... particular kind, yeah.
I'm deeply excited by this. Thank you for bringing this into my world.
Well,
I'm going to reply to the trolls, and then I'm going to gnome you.
Don't gnome me. Gnome someone else.
I don't think so. There was another story that came up this week, because Ofcom apparently is introducing or has introduced some new rules that mean phone providers in the UK have to do more to crack down on these fake numbers, these spoofed calls. I saw the number here, I'm quoting, who are we on? ISPreview.co.uk. We refer to them a lot actually these days. Good website. The move aims to tackle a problem that during the summer resulted in 4.8 million people being targeted by suspicious calls and texts. So nuisance calls, this is the thing that's being tackled, apparently. Ofcom says about 700,000 people in the UK have fallen into traps over the 3 months leading up to August this year alone. So three quarters of a million people in 3 months. That's a quarter of a million a month, if you wish to do that. So, yeah, it's obviously not, it's not going away, but Ofcom's trying to do more about it. But I mean, I still haven't really come up with, haven't really had many of these come in. I hear about them all the time, but I've never really had them. Nick in the live chat shared a link of a chap in 2020 who got fed up with a guy dumping old car tires on his farm, that he managed to catch the guy doing it on CCTV, put all the tires that he deposited into a massive tipper truck, found the guy's house and went and dumped them on his front garden, which is just such a beautiful piece of vigilante justice that harms nobody but sends a message, that I can't help but admire it. So that's excellent. That's excellent. I'm glad.
I love those sort of revenge stories. That's some of my favourite thing that happen.
They're very innocent. Well, one of the things that ISP Review says that if you can do is what Ian said earlier, that if you're in England or Wales or Northern Ireland, I think, you can text text your spam number to 7726. And then that goes to your mobile operator. Hopefully this is going to get better because Ofcom's told mobile phone companies they've got to do more. But in the meantime, that's a good place to send it, it seems, which is excellent.
Yes.
Now, Ian, unrelated to gnoming, can you do me a quick favour and send me your postcode? I've got something I'd like to send you, and and your house number. That's all I need.
Yeah.
If you can just drop me that in text, thanks. Also, how do you get on the dark web?
I might
these
not.
Days?
Is that okay?
It's up to you. I've just don't worry, you won't guess what I'm gonna do.
By
the way, Ian, do you like gnomes? Morris,
yes,
tell me,
Langston,
tell me please about ticketing systems. Why has this attracted you this week?
Well, because I was forced to laugh because Taylor Swift brought down Ticketmaster. It was quite bad. I know a lot of people at work were very excited about getting Taylor Swift tickets. Now, look, it's no secret, really, that I'm not Taylor Swift's number one fan. In fact, I'm probably not Taylor Swift's 8 billionth fan. But she is very popular. And so her upcoming 52-day concert run in America sold out within minutes. Apparently she sold something like 2.4 million tickets.
Yeah, I read that.
But she's very upset because apparently there was no open availability, so all of the tickets that she had available were sold on pre-sale, which I'm led to believe was not supposed to be the case. There were a number of pre-sale things an option where you could sign up to Ticketmaster a couple of weeks in advance and get added to a list where you'd get early access. And there was also a pre-sale with a major bank. I can't remember which one, but it doesn't matter because I wouldn't want to name them anyway. And it all went completely disastrously from what I can tell. Taylor Swift reported to be very angry. I don't know why, because I reckon that must have been worth about $200 million. In extra personal wealth for Taylor, obviously less the cost of putting on a concert in several cities, which I imagine would be probably $100 million anyway. So what could we do? I think probably part of the problem is that the Americans don't seem to have that rule that we have, where you can't resell a ticket for more than face value.
Well,
so tickets were going on sale for $22,000 or something on after the sale.
Doesn't surprise me. I mean, I think, is it in Northern Ireland or the Republic of Ireland, like, ticket touts is actually illegal? I mean, it's legal here, but I think touting is way more prevalent in the US than it is in the UK.
Well, a lot of venues will demand that your ID matches the name on the ticket, right?
Yeah.
And Ticketmaster itself, when you buy a ticket in the UK, says, you know, if you want to sell these tickets, the only way to do it is through our resale service. We all know Ticketmaster's awful, but there must be a way of preventing it. I mean, that would be a start, right? You know, not allowing resale, forcing people to have an ID to go to the venue would be a really good way of stopping it. Obviously, it adds an administrative burden.
Well, there is a difference to Ticketmaster these days, because Ticketmaster uses this demand-based pricing system thing. And this has been around, I think, since only this summer or something, which is essentially where there aren't, like, upfront prices are not promoted, and the prices increase based on how many people want to buy them. The idea being that it stops touts. They also say it's supposed to give more money to the singers and things, but a lot of fans, myself included, think, well, this is ridiculous, because
doesn't it just mean that everyone's going to end up paying $600 for Taylor Swift tickets?
Well, they can double. Yeah, I mean, some people were saying, like, the prices are double.
That's really, really unfair.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't like that, and it's a problem. Whereas part of the problem that happened with Ticketmaster, it was demand. Like, really, you didn't anticipate that one of the biggest, most successful and popular and artists in the world with one of the most rampant fan base would maybe all want to clamor to your site at the same moment. Like, do you not think maybe
if it was ever going to be a problem, it was going to be a problem with Taylor Swift, wasn't it? I mean, she is probably one of the most in-demand artists in the world.
So that was problematic. However, this was... I have to say, like, I was a little bit cynical of Taylor Swift recently, which, as you know, is not characteristic of me. Because
I'm permanently cynical of her, and that I would be happy to talk about at length.
Well, send her some gnomes. I think that her recent album, which I bought. In fact, I bought a physical copy, and I wouldn't normally have done that these days, because I tend not to buy physical copies of anything. I do make an exception for some of my favourites, and Taylor is one of those. But I probably wouldn't have done this time. The reason I did is because I was told that people who pre-order a copy of the album get access to an upcoming pre-sale of tickets for her next UK tour. Now, to me, knowing that this kind of popularity happens, I thought, well, that's not a bad idea. If I get the ticket, if I get the CD, then I know that I'm going to be better in line to buy something, buy a ticket. Afterwards, I realized, was this a way to get fans better access to tickets, or was it a way to manipulate chart placement? Because let's be honest, most of the people who buy a copy of the CD, maybe fewer with vinyl, but with the CD, are not going to put the CD in their CD player. They'll probably read the book.
Probably not. They probably don't have a CD player.
Exactly. They're going to listen to it on stream, which is exactly what I did. So technically, that's two sales from me, because I streamed it and I bought the physical copy. And then I felt a bit like a mug. But I'm yet
well,
to... Because this tour hasn't been announced...
CD of it. I mean, that's good. You do like Taylor Swift, so supporting her is probably not a bad thing.
I do, and I own three different copies of her first album. But
the one that she did, legit, that first one that she did, and then the version that she did when she decided she didn't like how capitalism worked anymore.
Oh, that, well, no, in that case, four versions. But she hasn't re-recorded that one yet. But anyway, the thing is, what I liked about that is that if I'm really cynical, I think, what a fantastic way to exploit your fans, to say, hey,
there's no better than Taylor.
If you buy the CD, then you'll get access to this thing that you also want, and by doing so, it manipulates our chart position. Or actually, if I'm less cynical, and this works, and I'm yet to find out if this works, is that actually quite a good way of working with a record label to say, we can help with music sales in this industry by saying, if you want to come to a gig, you're buying the CD, or let's say any piece of merchandise, you're buying something to support the sale of the album, But in doing so, you're also going to be guaranteed day of release of tickets without being scalped, because long term, that could be a very good model, I think.
Well, it could. And also, it could maybe guarantee ticket prices. So, for example, if you were to buy the album, it could be that you'd get tickets for a certain price. So you wouldn't have to worry about that algorithm outpricing you.
Yeah.
I wonder if this whole thing might actually be solved somewhat by low technology. So rather than putting tickets for sale online, put them for sale at the box office. And so people have to go and, you know, and they can queue up if they want. At least then they'd know that they were going to get tickets, because you could, you know, stop the line when there were enough people there. One other thing to do is Taylor could do more than 52 shows. She could do 100 shows and she would double the amount of available seats.
Well, they do that sometimes. They do play multiple.
Well, she's doing one, two, or three shows at every venue. So I guess depending on perceived demand or
can I just point out a big part of this tour is that she's got a very large back catalogue and spans quite a lot of different genres, because she went from being country to pop to whatever it's classed as now.
And Desiree so, quality pop songs.
I used to like being your friend.
It's so bad. That song is so bad.
And different set list on different nights. It's quite a nice idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, Metallica did this. And I went to see, when I saw Metallica, they actually let people vote for songs from their back catalogue that they wanted them to play. And the songs with the most votes that weren't already in the set list were added for each night. And I thought that was quite a nice thing to do as well. When you've got a very large back catalogue, it's very difficult in the space of, let's say, a 2-hour set to please the longtime fans as much as the brand new fans. And unlike, I mean, Metallica have generally stuck within the genre to a certain extent, if we ignore Load and Reload, you know with a pop act it differs widely. So how do you appeal to that? This is a way of doing it. It's quite a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of important things to keep fans happy, I guess. I thought it would be funny to get Taylor Swift tickets just to go and see Haim. But then I realised that it'd be a really big sum of money to go and see a band that you could just go and see anyway. Mm. Yeah.
Well, the other thing is subscriptions. This doesn't work as well for big acts, but I have seen it work with bands that do things on Patreon. And it's essentially you're subscribing to the band. You get access to behind-the-scenes stuff. It's a fan club, essentially. But it leans off the subscription model that people love so much to sell and buy these days, that, you know, if you have a subscription to a fan club membership and you just know that you're going to get early access to tickets, or rather guaranteed face value prices of tickets, for some of these acts, it's worth buying once. Like buying a rail card sometimes. You buy the rail card and you've made your money back in about 2 days. I think that, you know, there'll be tons of people and there's some nice recurring revenue for you. Just take the software as a service model and apply it to pop music. Bob's your uncle. It's the best way to compare Taylor Swift to Germany's mega giant SAP. Who's ever talked about those in the same sentence before?
I don't know. I really don't know. No one, presumably. But it does. I do want to fix it, because anyone who's ever bought tickets... I've done it with Ticketmaster, and it is a matter of having three laptops open, seeing which credit cards you've got might have special early access to tickets, that kind of thing. And it's painful, and it shouldn't really be like that. It should be possible for people to get legitimate tickets. I mean, I really despise scalpers. It is one thing I cannot abide in any industry. You know, it ruined game consoles, it ruined GPUs, and it's just nonsense. And it's preventable, because you cannot tell me that there are not technological solutions that can stop it. There just must be.
There definitely are, but they're sometimes not as effective as they would like. At least that's the evidence so far. The thing I really object to is being charged £2 to print my own ticket. Like, if I'm having to print my ticket, you owe me, because I've had to get the printer out of the cupboard I've had to buy some new ink because printer ink never lasts more than about 2 weeks unless you're printing something every day, and who does that? And yet I'm being charged £2 for the privilege. No thanks, I'll stay at home. There we go. Well, if you have any views on how ticketing should work for concerts...
Or how bad that new Taylor Swift song is.
If you want to talk about that, tell Ian. Tell someone who gives a gnome. Honestly, mate, you've doubled the number of gnomes I'm sending to your house. I just want to quickly thank patrons for supporting us directly, such as everyone who is listening to us live right now. And thank you, who we've got, Charlotte and John, Luna, Kate, Mike, Nick, Rich. I'm sure I saw other people here earlier, but we are recording at an odd time today on a Sunday. If you would like to get our unedited version of the show every week in the archive, listen live. Today we had a great discussion about Guess That Hole, which is a riveting tale, let me tell you. You can find all that, plus Extra Message, which Ian did a bang-up job of this week talking about...
Oh, thanks very much, mate. That's
CompuServe
very kind of you.
And more. I thought it was great. It's really interesting. CompuServe... IRC and memories thereof. It was really very good. If you want to grab that right now, as well as the entire back catalog, do go to patreon.com/UK Tech. Stephen sent us a lovely email this week, and it's always a pleasure when people address their feedback specifically to you, because often they sometimes only address it to me and I feel guilty because we are co-hosts. Stephen says, "Hey Ian, I was just listening to the podcast and the part about the Chris Rock live event on Netflix. I was wondering if this could be a test or demonstration in order to allow Netflix to bid on broadcast rights for some sporting events, as Amazon and Apple have done, as well as live gaming. I was also thinking about the reinventing the television aspect, an algorithm that acts like a program manager picking shows for you, or a celebrity-curated playlist. It then occurred to me that they could also accomplish this by offering celebrity streaming accounts, kind of like a public share or play amp. I'm not quite sure what that is, but I'm sure you'll decipher it, Ian. Where it would give you the option to follow your celebrity of choice. You can watch whatever they are watching. That way you'll have a group of people watching a show or film more or less together and talking about it. Then you get all the gaming and social engineering aspect to that, which could be fun. Maybe on a Netflix Mastodon server. Anyway, just in case, thanks for the show, Stephen. Thank you for the email, Stephen. Nate.
I think that's actually a pretty good idea there. Because it's quite common. So people who are in TV shows will often have like an impromptu viewing party. So they'll go, oh, we're going to watch episode one at 8 o'clock tonight and do it. But obviously that requires that everyone gets together and, you know, like watch, presses play at the same time or whatever, which is a nice idea. But, you know, that there is such a technology as sort of play togethers. You know, Amazon has that button you can press where you can start a watch party.
HD DVD had it back in the day.
Oh yeah, brilliant. I need to fire my HD DVD player back up again and just enjoy the joys of it. There is a potentially nice idea there. You know, they could get stars in, you know, watch it together, have a post show discussion about it, maybe with reading the best tweets, or you know, when Twitter dies, Facebook messages. I don't know. So I like that idea. And yes, in terms of gearing us up for maybe some sport or something like that, yeah, I could totally see it. I could totally see Netflix making a play for F1, given the success of Drive to Survive. That could absolutely be a thing if they felt rich enough. You know, it'd be very expensive, and getting it for a global audience would be next to impossible, I would think. But it's not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea. Thank you very much, Stephen, for that. Any other emails or feedback about the show or anything you'd like us to talk about, of course, do send them to us. hello@uktechshow.com. Other people that have been in touch with us this week include Tom Merritt, who's going to tell us about all the stuff that we haven't talked about on the show this week, but they have on DTNS.
This week on Daily Tech News Show, Trisha Hershberger has the perfect gift for the gamer in your life. I mean, that sounds trite, but she really does. Shannon Morris gives us the scoop on MediaTek's bid to steal chip market share away from Snapdragon. Speaking of chips, I'll tell you why I think the chip industry may have just hit bottom. We talk about one man's quest to make an unhackable voting machine. And Patrick Norton has great gift ideas for home theater geeks. He really does. All that and much more at DailyTechNewsShow.com.
Now, funnily enough, I haven't listened to their Fridays episode, which is
well,
where...
Well, there you go. You should.
So I'm behind by one show because I was... I was busy. So interesting. I will check that out. And I wonder if
let
he says...
Let Patrick Norton help.
Yes.
Well, that's... Have you considered going for a full Atmos audio setup?
No, I'm perfectly fine with stereo. Perfectly fine.
Luddite.
I'd love surround sound, but it sounds like an absolute pain in the ass. And I don't need that many speakers dotted around. Have you seen how many snail objects I've got around the house? No room for any more speakers. No room.
There are those very, very expensive speakers you can get that look like sort of like snails. Hold on, what are they?
I don't want any. Snail. John in our live chat says, get a stereo HomePod. I did have one, but I split it up and I left one behind the TV and I've got one in here in the office. Because I had the hi-fi.
The B&W Nautilus loudspeakers.
Oh, the Nautilus.
They are $32,999 on this eBay auction.
And you know what? I have heard a pair of those in person, and they are phenomenal. The problem is...
And they look just like a snail.
They look like a Nautilus, which is like a... I think
a shell.
Yeah, I mean, they basically unchanged for hundreds of millions of years. They're fascinating creatures. And the Nautilus speaker is delightful. It's just, it's that law of diminishing returns. And once you go over £20,000 for a pair of speakers, you're just not going to get the return on investment.
Brand new, they're £57,750.
Yeah, you can get someone killed for that.
But you wouldn't want to get anyone killed. But you would like to have a pair of Nautilus speakers.
Yeah, I'd rather that to a garden full of gnomes, put it that way.
Yeah. Don't spend your money sending me gnomes, please.
We'll
get
see.
The Nautilus.
I don't know.
For $60,000.
Mm. Well, if you'd like to fill my garden with Nautilus speakers or Nautili, don't, because it's a horrendous waste of time and money. But if you'd like to send us a message, do please send it to us, hello@uktechshow.com. We'd love your reviews. We'd love your reviews very much so on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Just give us a star rating, ideally the maximum number of stars permitted. That would be great. And tell your friends, because we've plateaued over the last few months in terms of new listenership, and it would be fantastic to... and to go up again. So please help us out. It would be rather lovely of you and much more appreciated than any gnomes. Ian, would you like to say anything before this 10-second fade-out finishes?
Yeah, it wouldn't be nautili because it's a Greek word and it's derived from the type of octopus.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.